We recording?
Yes, we've been recording.
We've eaten the Selena
Gomez. We're going to eat it or beat it.
Now,
Oreos, Selena Gomez.
Oreos loves doing these special edition flavors.
Mm-hmm.
This one is meant to be like churro flavors?
Or horchata. I'm a little unclear.
There's two creams
right.
in each, so I think it's...
Right, so this is Selena's chocolate and cinnamon cream cookies.
Okay.
And it is like a dual layer, like not quite a double stuff, but there are two.
Yeah.
You can see it in the color.
Yeah, so yeah, it's interesting.
I had like four, but
yeah.
I have another one.
So yeah, it's chocolate cookie and a cinnamon cream and a vanilla cream, I guess
it is. Probably an horchata cream.
Oh yeah, I guess. Yeah, it could be.
You know what? Hell yeah.
Yeah, honestly, this is good as hell.
This is really delicious.
Yeah.
It looks like they used a different chocolate for the cookie as well.
I'm sorry, a different what?
A different chocolate for the cookie.
Yeah, they aren't as dark.
They might have, yeah. I don't know.
So it's whatever Selena's chocolate is.
Yeah, that's true.
This is, honestly, for me, it's an eat it.
Yeah.
This is delish.
Yeah.
It's all right.
From a Dalhanji, that's a rave.
We're waiting for that.
I rarely buy Oreos.
I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, I have a limit to how often I can have Oreos.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like them, but they're not something I can have, like, every night or, like, even multiple times a week.
If there were, like, sort of snack packs of this,
mm-hmm.
I'd definitely...
I mean, that's the thing, dude. Like, the thing I always have with Oreos is, like,
snack pack.
I'll eat, like, a row of them, and I'll be like, this is great, and then I want no more, so, like, the rest of the box just ends up in the trash.
Stale.
See,
yeah.
That's my problem. It's not true of most Oreos, but if I get mint Oreos, I will go through the entire package without thinking about it.
I don't think I've ever had a mint Oreo.
There's something about mint.
They're fucking delicious.
That, like,
I'm not big on
mint. It feels clean and sort of like not like it's as
like
right,
food, like it's
cheese exactly.
or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And so you're like, ooh, mint. It's just a mint.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right. There's like no
and
food here.
And then you've
here.
Eaten like
right.
a bag of dinner mints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have that. That I have done.
I've had my dinner mint bag. Things.
Yeah, or I've had like Andy's Thin Mints, and it's like
oh
I eat
God,
the entire
yeah.
sleeve. It's like it took 10 minutes. And
when
gone.
I was a kid, I was a fiend for Andy's Dinner Mints.
They were
me too.
There was a boy I went to middle school with who was obsessed with after dinner mints. And I remember him like giving a presentation that involved the phrase, "Their minty innards fill me with joy." And this has stuck with me ever since
their
like,
minty
1998.
That is nuts.
They made a statue of us. They made a statue of us. The tourists come and stare at us. The sculptor's mama sends regards. They made a statue of us. They made a statue of us.
Welcome to another episode of Why Did We Watch This? The podcast where three friends sit down with a troubled movie, a themed cocktail, and talk about what worked, what didn't, and how they would fix it. I am Chris Blow and Tell Ravel.
I am Lee Giving Your Angel Condoms, Delahanty.
And I am Brendan Unavailable Homo Drishler.
And making a special return appearance, I don't know what number this would be, four, three or four at
oh,
least?
Oh no, this is like
fifth?
Maybe five at this point.
Hmm.
I am Faith as risque as white bread Johnson.
Woo, welcome back. It was only right that Faith guessed for this one
yes.
because she was the one that graced slash cursed us with the knowledge and experience of today's movie that we're talking about, which is Something Like Summer.
I mean, I don't want to give too much credit to myself because this was Faith, but when Faith said that you were coming over to watch musicals, I was like, please make sure he watches Something
well,
Like Summer, because I felt like, what was the other one that you
there
guys
was a,
watched?
There was a few others.
We
Voyage of the Rock Aliens, Odessa,
right.
which was
Odessa.
On, which
Odessa,
was,
right. Odessa was the one that I was like, I really don't think I want to talk about Odessa. Show him Something Like
well,
Summer.
Because
yeah.
Odessa's kind of like good for the most part.
It's middling, but it
better
it would not
this.
Have been as interesting to talk about,
no.
And
also,
we also watched Listomania, which is just insane,
yeah, that's
but also
just,
you can't fix that.
Yeah, you can't criticize Ken Russell.
And I
no.
don't want to fix Voyage of the
right.
Rock Aliens.
No,
no.
Voyage of the Rock
it's
Aliens
perfect.
Is good.
Yeah.
Basically, I think it was maybe 5 minutes into watching this with Faith that I was like, well, this is it. Now.
Yeah.
We're watching. This is what I'm going to do.
This is a new masterpiece for our time.
oh, God.
It really, to me, feels just like if you blended together Jerry Van Hansen in The Room is really what it feels
right.
like.
Right. I mean,
me,
I think the quote on Letterboxd that I think I most agree with, it was like, if Sean Cody made a Lifetime movie, which I think is 100%
Sean Cody is a gay pornography studio.
Yes, you're right. the movie's from 2017. Based on a 2011 young adult novel of the same name by author Jay Bell. The movie is directed by David Barry, again, not that one, and it is starring Grant Davis as Ben, Davey Santos as Tim, Ben Bauer as Jace. I don't know how to actually say her name. Iona?
I don't know.
My apologies to her. You deserve better. Adriana Alexis as Allison, and that's pretty much it.
I mean, no offense to any of these people, but this is not one with a really, like, known cast.
No, two of them have kind of had careers, and one of them really hasn't.
Well, yeah, I think Ben Bauer did some, like, web series and stuff. And
yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Davy Santos and Nagiona Alexis are, like, the only two who are, like, continuing to act.
Yeah.
Grant Davis seems to have become an acting coach somehow. Mm. And if you watch this movie, that will be baffling.
You will be stymied as to how that happened.
How it was allowed. So, this movie sort of, I think, kind of broke our brains a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, the format of the show is going to be a little different.
Well,
but
first,
before we dive in, I would love to talk about the drink and the treats that we have to go along with this.
So, to start off, the drink that we made for this episode is called a Mariposa Roja, which is 2 ounces of gin, 3 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces of Prosecco, half a teaspoon of lime juice, 5 strawberries, and 5 mint leaves. You cut the strawberries into pieces, muddle in a cocktail shaker with the mint, add gin, lime juice, and ice to the shaker, shake until chilled, strain into a glass over ice, top with club soda and Prosecco, stir it gently, and then garnish with a strawberry. We also did a virgin one of these for Faith, where we just subbed out the, what was it, the ginger lime...
It was the ginger lime mule polar seltzer.
For all of the alcohol, basically.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of like the syrup with that. So, yeah, what did we think of the drink for him?
That was great.
Yeah.
Nice strawberry and summery.
Yeah, it was a good summer drink. Nice, breezy. Appreciate that.
Mocktail could have used something else.
Yeah,
it was a little too watered down.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, like, as soon as I saw like the liquid pour into there from the shaker, I was like, shit, like I should have thrown something else.
Maybe
in
like,
there. Like I need some juice or something.
Or juice.
I think it needed like, because it was two parts of alcohol, like I think I needed like one part juice.
Yeah.
It's like one part of the seltzer to do something. I just don't know what the juice would have been. But hindsight's
pretty good. It's like a lemonade or something.
What's that?
Strawberry lemonade.
Yeah, honestly, that might have been it, frankly.
Yeah.
That probably would have done it.
It was refreshing.
Yes.
You know, we're kind of in an on again, off again heat wave lately.
Yeah,
so
right.
It was nice to have a cool drink.
Yeah, we just kind of like, we get like a heat wave and then it's like, here's one day where it gets to be sub 80 and then.
Right. It's like
and
70
it's
degrees.
Rain.
Yeah, it's 70
like,
degrees and rainy, so you won't really enjoy it.
Yeah. And it'll be muggy, so you don't really appreciate the grass.
Right. Yes. And then on the other days, it'll be like, it's 110 degrees, so
yeah.
You can't leave. And great. It has been something like summer for us. And of course, Faith.
Yes. In addition, I made the no purpose except an excuse to bitch fruit cake.
Based on an inexplicable line from this.
Yeah. It is a fruit cake.
Right.
Two words.
Right.
Not a singular fruit cake, which I've never had, but sounds revolting. So this was basically just followed the lemon berry yogurt cake recipe from Sally's Baking Addiction, except I added a teaspoon of cardamom that I think got a little lost.
A little, but good call, I think, though.
Yeah, I think next time... The recipe called for lemon zest and lemon juice, and I think maybe I would just use, like, milk in place of the lemon juice. And then I think that the lemon would be a little more balanced with the spices. And also, I would not use so many raspberries because the recipe cautioned against that. And I think it made the cake too wet. And that's why
it
completely fell apart. We got like some nice slices out of half of it. It was supposed to be a lovely bunt. But
fitting for this film.
Right. So
yes,
I call it a metaphor.
But I was going for the colors of the movie.
Yes.
And also
Ben Bentley's yellow and red Winnie the Pooh Disney bounding cosplay.
And, Tim is known as Blue Shoes.
Right. And Tim has blue shoes.
So, like we were saying, I found it difficult to wrap my head around this film in terms of like splitting it up into topics like we normally do. So my thought is, we're going to use the kind of thin Wikipedia summary as a guide, but mostly expand upon that.
We're going to use the Wikipedia entry for the book,
right?
To be fair, because the movie is much vaguer in what it's telling you. The book and the movie follow each other pretty fucking closely. So the plot entry for the book will serve as our synopsis for the movie. But
it's just so many of the issues in this movie and so many of the like crazy things are just happening all at once that it's really difficult, I feel, to talk about them individually, like in a vacuum. So I think it's only right for this messy, chaotic circus of a film that we maybe try to keep the conversation more just like, what was a crazy thing that happened at that moment or whatever.
Yes, that's fair.
So would you like to start us off?
Well, I mean, we start, of course, with the sketches of the with the production storyboards.
The storyboards,
yeah,
which is why some of them don't exist.
Right, we're seeing scenes that don't always translate.
They were lost in the
pre-production. Like the talent show.
They were like, this movie cannot be 4 hours long. We're like, but what could we possibly lose? Yes, and so you do have a scene that seems to be a talent show, which is a thing that happens in the books. You have this drawing of Ben hiding in a tree.
Yep. Yeah.
Like crouched on a branch
very,
in a tree.
Very Disturbia?
Yes! Yeah, no, it looks like the front cover of Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf in the glasses.
But like with,
the binoculars.
Creepy, like sort of like lecherous grin in his
face. Yeah, yeah, he's like smiling in a really creepy way.
And
you have the little
Tim is the lens. Is in
right,
the lenses.
Tim is in the lenses. And so you just have this like creepy man perched in a tree like.
And you would not expect, I mean, we obviously know who that is. It's our main character.
But that
but,
doesn't happen.
Well,
no.
Well, it does in terms that he does watch him through binoculars.
Right, but you never
but
see him like crouch
like
in a tree.
Like an
true.
Actual stalker in
true.
A fucking
right, like
tree.
Fucking it's, Zacchaeus in a tree.
And when he's doing it in the movie, he's doing it while the guy is like 20 feet away.
Yes!
So he's sitting on a picnic
in broad daylight.
Right.
In the middle of a park.
In right.
plain sight of the
right, town. So after we get past all these sketches, including my favorite one, which is Ben like pouting behind a tree, where like you show him by the tree and he's like, ooh, he has this like look on his face
well,
as Tim's walking by. We cut to the real world.
Our main actor, by the way, can't stop making that face.
No, his name is Grant Davis as Ben Bentley. He's bad. I don't think this is mean to say.
No,
he's legitimately
he's
bad.
Awful.
Yeah.
He was also not the first choice
right.
for this role. There was like an actual working actor cast, but he had to drop out. And then they had to like completely rearrange the shooting schedule while they scrambled to find somebody else. And I guess he was the next best option or just the only one who was free.
Right, which is insane to me that this is what you got. You've
yeah.
got every. You've got like so many other potential options, and you land on this. Like I cannot say as to why, but here
like,
we are.
There's some other twink out there who can sing.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Did we mention this is a musical?
You're right. Also, again, continuing our summer of unhinged musicals, this is ostensibly a musical, but like what?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. But
yeah.
So it's
just
barely right.
It's
like six, I guess
songs.
Right. Similar to how, like we said, The Singing Detective was a lip syncing musical. This is a musical that only has like six songs and has long stretches where no one sings,
which is a blessing and a curse. Because it does make it less of a musical, but also our lead, who is singing like pretty much most of the songs, maybe except for one, and is occasionally backed up by his friend, but it's
yeah.
mostly just him, he
right.
cannot sing very well. And they cut to these performances that are supposed to be, I guess, in his in like a
memory
fantasy
palace.
Space
yeah.
or a memory
yeah.
palace or like his
They're kind of going for a Chicago thing where it's
right.
like his thoughts in his head.
Right, right.
But it's just this like really cheap.
Right,
black box
you, right. You cut to like a stage, basically. It's a stage in a theater. Who knows what the hell it's supposed to be? But Hugh will be singing. You will see other characters, but those other characters, by and large, except for a few scenes with Allison, his friend, do not move, do not interact with him, do not sing. They just sit there, completely stand still, and Ben will move around and sing at them or about them, despite the fact that they cannot engage.
There was a bit early on in the first song where, like, I knew that the people on the picnic table were, like, real because we'd seen them in real life frozen. And it cuts to, like, a wider shot of, like, the two guys playing basketball
yeah,
with
yeah.
each other. And I legit thought they had dressed up mannequins.
I mean, honestly,
because they're both kind of like
better.
This, right? Like,
yeah,
they're both just
like
this,
up.
So stiff.
Yes,
and it was a wide shot. I couldn't see details that well, so it was just like I was like, are those not even the people? They're just like sort of bad mannequins.
Right. Did they just dress up a mannequin and be like, you guys can go home now?
Yeah.
And Grant Davis as what is his character?
Ben Bentley.
Thank you, Ben Bentley. Oof,
Ben Bentley.
This is true for pretty much all of the songs he sings. It looks like just before they like started taping. He was listening to the song for the first time because he's like barely lip syncing to it. And then it's not like there's much performance happening. He's just sort of like...
He sort of like awkwardly fidgets around.
Right.
Yeah.
It does feel like it's one of those things where like you need... This is why you need like a strong director or a choreographer to come
yes.
in and at least tell you like, this is where we should move you. It seems like he kind of had carte blanche and the director's like, I don't know, like walk around them and sing at them, I guess. And he's like, okay.
Here I go.
Yes.
His arms move no further than like 20 degrees.
Right. He does like a lot of little arm flaps kind
yeah.
of is what... You get like a little bit of this.
They don't go any higher than, like, yeah.
Right.
Kind
it's
of
just
like a penguin.
Right.
Like,
yeah, just like some gentle, like, arm waves.
Yeah.
So he's singing about blue shoes.
Right.
The...
Right. So we see he is singing this song about the character who we will later find out is Tim.
Yes.
Tim, who is this hot guy who has just moved to town. We see Tim playing catch with Bryce, who we establish is, like, this jock kid at the school who hates Ben and who Ben thinks is secretly gay.
Although that never goes.
Though we never really get a whole lot of closure onto that. Ben is sitting there watching with his friend Allison, who will show up periodically throughout the movie. to just respond to things that Ben says. And another guy, Ronnie, who is Allison's high school boyfriend, but you don't really find that out until the end of the movie, where she mentions, like, oh, yeah, and by the way, like, if Ronnie came in, my heart would skip a beat or some shit like that. It's like, oh, I guess you're a couple. But, yeah. Mm. So this is what's leading us into the first song, which, do we know what, like, does anyone know
the fucking number? The first song is the Regina Spektor one.
Yeah, it's a cover.
I've never heard any of
that. That's the problem, too. I've only heard the Neo song that they say, and it's, the Duncan Sheik.
It's that one where it's like, they'll build a statue of us.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Claim it's all our fault.
Yeah. I guess it's just us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Us. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
It's a nice song. It's just, and this is true of pretty much all the music as well. It's, all of the songs are put through this, like, Pasek and Paul sound.
Yes. It's also important to point out real quick here, I think also that while most of these songs are covers, I think two of them are original songs written for the movie. And
one of which is Allison's song.
Yes. It's also very difficult for me to tell which is the original song because I'm not up to date on pop music. Mm-hmm. So, like, you could have told me that these were all existing songs and I would have been like, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, so. They really are all put through, like, the exact same arrangements.
Yeah.
So
right. I assume it's just one of the things, like, you have a minimal backing band, so
yeah.
Like they all kind of sound the same because the band is so small. You've only got so many options here.
Right.
You can't go nuts.
So he even follows Tim and Bryce back to Tim's house where they were playing catch in the park, and then he's like, let's get out of here. And then they walk back to Tim's house where they just stand in the strip of, like, yard in front of the street to play catch more.
Yes.
Until his dad drives up and is just like, oh, here's the Mustang I'm giving you.
Yeah, here's a new car. While this is also happening, Ben is still watching them through his opera glasses, like, a block away, like, across the street. So if one of them deigned to turn their head 45 degrees, they would see him standing there snooping on them.
And he finds his last name, and he's like, oh, your last name is Wyman. And he goes, gotcha. Which I'm like, this is such creep shit, man.
Yes, aggressively so.
Yeah,
his friends even call him
a gay stalker. You're a stalker. A gay stalker. Which is like, is that supposed to be a joke?
Yes,
like,
I really think it is.
They're jokingly like, haha, stalker. He's doing stalker behavior.
But it's just such a weird thing. It's just, you're identified. Like, yes, you're a stalker. A tall stalker. I'd be like, okay.
It is an unnecessary adjective.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like yes, he is gay and he's stalking. What of it?
But
now?
That's again, awesome. It is that child, like, rapist meme where it's like, that's worse than a stalker.
A gay stalker.
It's okay.
A gay period.
That is also consistent with a characteristic that's more, I think, in Ben's deal in, like, the first half of the movie than the second half, where he just has to mention and remind people at all times that he's gay.
Yeah.
So he can't just be a stalker, he's a gay stalker. When he accidentally on purpose runs into Tim on his rollerblades, knocks him down, and I guess, like, breaks his leg, sprains his ankle,
sprains
I don't know what
ankle.
It is. And is later making him chicken out.
Right, okay,
like,
let's not get too ahead of ourselves right now. So the other thing I think we should throw out here is this is a period piece.
Okay,
this is set in 1996, ostensibly. The movie does not do a great job of telling you this. The only reason I think we know it's 1986 is because we read the books, which implies 1986. The only reason that you, the viewer, might think it's 1986 is because no one whips out a cell phone or anything.
Correct.
Point. And it's also, but, like, it's in such a weird way where I feel like there are times where you need a Chiron to come on screen and be like, this time, this place. Especially if you don't have the budget to really pull it off. I think that's the time where you definitely need to say, this is 1996. Because just looking at most of the clothes, most of the fashion, most of the hair, you would think it's kind of modern day. There's a few characters who look very 90s in their dress.
Like Ben's parents.
Yeah, Ben's parents do. Like, one of the kids at school does. But by and large, like, Ben and Tim are wearing outfits that, like, someone would wear today.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just impossible to follow up on that. But so...
We're just wearing JNCO jeans.
What's that? That would be great, honestly, if Tim was wearing JNCOs. He was just wearing these huge-ass pyramid jeans.
Yeah.
And Ben sees him, he's like, oh, my heart.
That would instantly get it. An extra star on Letterboxd for
I agree.
Me. And, like, one of those sweaters that's a bum.
I was thinking one of the sweaters, like, a Looney Tunes character with baggy jeans and boxers hanging out.
Or, like, I mean, let's get really real here. Someone would be wearing, like, a No Fear t-shirt.
Yes.
There would be, like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. Like, I know that these all sound like very obvious suggestions, but, like, sometimes you need to be very blunt
Or someone needs tie-dye.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is not even a budget thing. Can you just go to fucking Salvation Army.
Right, yes! That's the insane thing. It's like, how hard is it to find relics from the 90s, which was not that long ago?
Yeah, they don't even need to be trendy pieces. Like, these are just kids in the suburbs.
Right.
They could be wearing like t-shirts and jeans, but you need like a different cut of t-shirts.
Right,
and
you need, or like a logo that's recognizable as like a 90s, and obviously
yeah, like a Smashing Pumpkins t-shirt.
Yes. I would
that's
say
in the book.
Yeah.
You especially need that if you're going to pepper your movie with songs that didn't come out until the mid to late 2000s.
Which is even weirder that there's
yeah. They're singing songs that don't exist.
Right.
But again, those are, who knows?
Yes.
We have no idea.
Yes.
Are they really happening?
Yes. Which again, I think like Lee, you had compared it to, like, in theory, to Moulin Rouge the other time,
yeah,
where you're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, like, Moulin Rouge does this too. It's like, yeah, that is true. Moulin Rouge does do this, but Moulin Rouge, like, does it well.
Yeah.
And this movie does it ineptly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's different if it's, like, decades off versus, like,
right, that's true too.
This came out, like, I think we figured out that Neo song came out like 2 years after.
Right, after the moments that he is singing
yeah,
it on the plane.
Yeah, which just
or something.
Seems like an anachronism and
right.
not like a choice.
Right, not, yeah, with like Baz Luhrmann, it's like it's a conscious choice to have them sing like Dolly Parton.
Yeah,
in
obviously
Paris,
none
right.
of those songs existed
right.
in 1899.
Right.
But he's already established a world where anachronisms are being used, particularly musical ones, are being used in cool ways.
Right, that's
so
true.
You're
there's
fine
a,
with
right,
it.
There's a style to that movie,
right.
which this movie, I would
lacks.
Say, lacks entirely almost. So yeah. So anyway, as you had said, Chris,
he runs accidentally on purpose. Into
right.
Him.
Like that's the thing. The movie doesn't really say. The book very clearly says Ben is for some reason mad at Tim and wants to run into him on his rollerblades to like be mean to him. And then like at the last minute is like, no, maybe I shouldn't. And then hits him anyway. The movie I think doesn't really show what's
the
going
movie
on.
Seems to imply that he's like kind of stalking him again.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, whoops,
right.
I fell
yeah.
into.
Right.
You.
I think the movie makes it seem like an accident. Maybe it was an attempt to make Ben likable, which is something the movie
hard.
Really struggles with.
Hard to do.
So he hits him, he tumbles down into like a spillway.
Yeah.
He's like
busted his knee.
Right. He has a knees busted up, and Ben's like, oh no, like can you walk? And Tim's like, I don't know, my ankle hurts.
But I know I know your house is close by, and Tim's like, how the fuck do you
right,
know that?
Tim's like, help me get up, we'll find a house and I'll like call and ask for help or something. And Ben's like, oh, but your house is only like 2 blocks away, and Tim's like, how do you know that, gay stalker or something?
Yeah.
They establish this, and Tim just sort of like blows it off and is like, eh, whatever. Doesn't matter. He walks him home.
Walks him home.
Throws him on the couch.
Well, no, they get in the Mustang.
Oh, that's
the
true.
Doctor.
I'm sorry, you're right. That's
and
right.
The
they go into a car which changes model and build like 3 times
yeah.
throughout the movie.
Yeah.
The doctor's like, we're gonna need to call your parents, stay off here for a couple of days, whatever. Takes him home, and then cuts to. He's like stirring an empty pot
right.
while Tim is on the couch, and Tim's like, wow, you're cooking for me? And this line just gets the shit out of me where Ben just goes like, yeah, cooking, it's like a gay superpower.
Yeah.
Just had to remind you.
Yes, he
yeah.
is gay.
He gay.
He is in fact gay. So you
yeah.
just see sort of Tim on the couch with one of those boots, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And while this cooking is going on, he, like, sends Tim upstairs at one point to be like, hey, like, get me a change of clothes or whatever. And Tim's like, or Ben's
Ben.
Like, yeah, Ben's like, runs upstairs to his room, sees, like, a painting that
he
made.
Creeps.
Right, he creeps around a little bit. Like, it's one step below, like, rifling through his underwear drawer
mm-hmm.
or something. Goes back downstairs. Tim is listening to a cover by no one of Killing Me Softly.
I'm almost positive that it's our girl, Allison.
It could
it,
very
it
well
be. It
does
sound like her.
I mean, it does feel like the sort of thing is like, well, shit, she's already here, we paid her, let's
right.
have her sing the song.
Yeah.
And then Ben's like, oh my god, I love this song so much. And he starts singing along to it.
And
Tim looks at him like he turned into a cartoon steak or something.
Or like he's never heard music before.
Right.
And he's just like, oh my goodness.
I've never seen or known someone to listen to Killing Me Softly, unironically.
That is true. I guess the 90s was a different time,
I
suppose.
I guess so.
Well, I mean, that Fugees cover had just come
that's
out.
That's true, because I think that's what it is. In the book, they specifically say it's the Fugees
cover. If I can venture to
yeah.
explain the next bit.
Yes.
Please.
The upshot is that Tim's parents are not going to be around
they're
for a while.
They're in Switzerland for a while, yeah.
And so, somehow, that means Ben has to, like, supervise or take care of Tim.
Right. Again, like, as someone watching, this is, like, my high school fantasy of,
yeah.
like, being, like, the hot guy at school injures himself, and you are responsible for bathing and eating
yeah, yeah, yeah.
him. And taking care of him, and it's just gonna be the two of you hanging out all the time.
It's like
so,
the English patient.
Yes.
So after this like meet cute of I smash into you accidentally on purpose and end you up in a hospital because I actually broke your ankle. That's went way too far with it. Now I have to take care of you, and there's a few scenes of them together where you know they're talking about like, so what's it like to be gay?
Yes. They're talking in a bathtub. And Tim
in
is like and Tim is like, you can come in and like chat with me while I'm in the
Why?
Bathtub. Which
yeah.
is just the most like, okay,
well,
like you're leaving him
and,
on now at this point
because,
if you're not actually gay.
Because everything has to be like a whole deal. It's like, I guess if you're okay with a gay guy being in the bathroom with you.
Yeah. And then
And they, the conversation, you know, they have, like, a few, like, scenes together, mm-hmm. and then, like, as he's starting to get better, there's, like, a bit where, I think we probably jump to, like, when his girlfriend is at his
house. Right, so, yeah, so what happens, Tim's, or Ben's parents find out that Ben was skipping school, which we never see.
Yeah.
He was skipping school to take care of him, we assume happens
wild.
Off-screen.
Wild.
Ben, like, basically runs off, they're like, you can't go over there anymore. Ben, like, runs off in tears, basically, to Tim's house. Just walks into Tim's...
With groceries!
Fucking, yeah, with groceries, just, like, fucking walks in the front door.
Yeah.
He hears... Killing Me Softly playing and is like, our song. And then he goes over, like, to the kitchen and on the couch sees Tim with his, like, quasi-girlfriend Krista, like, writhing on top of him. Tim is fully clothed. Krista is shirtless.
He makes eye contact
with Ben. And he sees Ben. It's like, he's still, like, physically doing something with Krista, but, like, his eyes are fixed
on
Ben.
As he takes her bra off,
right,
which is creepy.
And Ben is, like, looking back at him. It's just one of the weirdest fucking moments of, like,
yeah.
This should be a rash or something, the sex one, not the race one.
Right.
But this, like, this is, like, the moment in, like an adult sex movie from the 90s where,
right.
like, someone walks in and is like, I'm really thinking of you while I'm having
yeah,
sex
yeah.
with this woman on my lap. And... obviously, understandably, Ben's like, well, I'm splitting.
But then later, Tim saw him, so he calls him and is like, hey, so sorry, Krista bounced before
I could come.
Do you want to come over? And
yeah.
Ben's like,
do you
want to
finish
my heart?
And then Ben's like, he loves me.
Which is just like, we learn nothing new from Ben, right?
No.
Only history with guys is like going to sleepovers and getting blowed up.
Right, right.
Because he would never blow.
He would never blow until
he's
blown. Right, but like this whole thing is that he says that like he used to go over to guys' houses, have sleepovers, would give them a blowjob,
yeah.
and like would never mention it, and so the guys could be like on the DL having a gay experience, but not actually like have the fallout of having to be openly
yeah.
gay.
And so how is this different? Don't know, but they kiss.
Right. And yes, this time whenever he comes over, it's like they sit next to each other, and Ben is like, well, I guess I should have like gets on top of him. And, like, starts going for his crotch. And Tim's like, slow down there, cowboy. And, like, you could give me a kiss first.
Yeah, buy me a drink.
And so, like, they kiss. And then I guess he gives him a handy. And so then you see them, like, awkwardly holding each other on, like, a couch again. They're two grown men holding each other on a couch.
They somehow couldn't go upstairs to bed.
Right.
Again, I don't see... I mean, I definitely have seen, like, a lot of sex scenes.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, think about them a lot
mm-hmm.
after the fact. So, like... But I don't cross-reference them easily. But, like... it definitely seems... All the times where, like, people are, like, sort of in the afterglow or, like, holding each other, it seems like the worst, most awkward physical
mm-hmm.
business and acting I've seen in my life.
It usually
oh, yeah.
is. Yeah. No, it is.
It's
I mean, it's always... it's just one of those things in movies that always is, like, never feels representative of real life to me, at least,
yeah.
as it is. Like, I get wanting to hold the other person.
Well, I think in this movie, it seems agreed. I mean, I can't really remember other movies, but, like, all I can say is, every time I watch, like, Ben do something after this, like, when, like, later on when he's with his newer boyfriend,
yeah.
he just sort of, like, does this weird sort of, like...
petting of his back.
Just sort of, like, fingertips sort of
yeah.
gentle
yeah.
scratch.
Yeah. Yes.
That happens a couple of times.
Yes.
And I'm like, what am I looking
yeah,
at?
Yeah, this movie has some weird-ass afterglow
it's sort
scenes.
Of,
yeah.
It's version of Face Off's face waterfalls.
Yes. He has the back scratch.
Face waterfalls.
I do just want to point out, them getting together in this way feels like an episode of MTV's Undressed, which if anyone's
I do remember. This does in many ways feel like a feature-length version of Undressed.
Yeah,
sort of Undressed, but...
It's this, basically.
Yeah, it's a lot of this shit.
So when we get to this part, did we skip over... the scene with the Spanish teacher, because that is important.
Yes, sorry. So at
mildly important.
Yeah, mildly,
yeah.
But at school previously, before the injury has happened, they're in Spanish class. All the major characters are students in this scene. There's a student teacher being like, hey, I'm your student teacher, Senor Langdon. Your regular teacher's going to sit down in the class and do nothing while I stand up here and talk to you about Spanish.
Sit down judging you and everyone else.
Yeah, sorry. She's just going to make some faces, and I'm going to do all the work here. And so then, like, they're having, like, mild Spanish chit-chat, and then Bryce, who is the douchebag friend who Tim is hanging with in the beginning of the movie, is like, hey, how do you say fag in Spanish? The student teacher and the teacher, like, look at each other like, what can
like,
we do?
You're supposed to be teaching us slang.
Right, yeah. And which is like, what you do is you say, I'm not teaching you that, you little
yeah.
shit. Like, if you want to keep this up, you can go to the principal's office. We are here to learn actual Spanish.
It is insane
right.
that neither of them shut it down.
Yes, yeah. And then the student teacher's like, well, I guess you would say mariposa, which, as we all know, because it comes up later in the movie, this is something that I learned in high school Spanish also.
Correct.
That, like, mariposa is, like, the equivalent of fairy, which is to say, like, it can be used as a slang for a gay person, but it can also just mean butterfly, which is what it is. So the teacher says that, and, like, Bryce is like, oh, mariposa, mariposa, whenever he sees Ben, blah, blah. So, yes, we do have that scene. After all this has happened, after we've had, like, the awkward sex scene where they fall off the couch together, what comes directly after
There's
that?
Sort of a montage of them having, like, a sex scene.
Right, we have another song.
Well, it's not summer, they're back at school.
Right, so, it's something like autumn at this point.
Yeah.
So,
even though that's Jace's book. Yeah.
So, there is another song that's covering a lot of bullshit while happening. I assume the song is, let me see, I have the, is that Shadow, I guess, maybe?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Sure.
Anyways, so, while this bullshit song is happening, you just see Allison and her boyfriend and Tim and Ben hanging out doing shit, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you find
they're
out...
They're on the DL.
After
the initial one, it's like, hey, let's keep doing this, but we're never going to tell anyone, we're going to keep it a secret.
Right, right. He's like, yes, I'm definitely not gay, but like,
and
we should continue doing this, we can continue being friends, you can keep giving me beaches.
And
but...
Ben, at least initially, is like, uh-huh, checks out, sounds good to me.
Ben's like, this is very much what I'm used to dealing with. Okay. So while they're doing all this montage, what it eventually culminates in is Tim taking Ben to his dad's office, where Tim has an artistic studio in like some abandoned room there.
Full of like just a bunch of random paintings that it seems like 10 different people made.
Whatever art intern showed up that day made a painting.
And Ben basically pressures Tim against several protests to let him meet his parents.
Right. We already see that Tim has met Ben's parents because we see them during that montage. Ben is very, very much like, I must meet your parents. I must meet your parents. I want to meet your parents.
And Tim
is like, no, they're not around that often. They kind of suck. Like, they don't really have, I don't have a lot to do with them. We don't have a great relationship. I don't want you to meet my parents. And Ben is like, I must meet your parents.
So they have dinner.
They're talking about, like, Tim and his girlfriend, and they're just like, Ben, who's
like,
your pretty
right.
girl?
You have
and, Ben, and Ben's like, I have a boyfriend.
And then he, like, immediately changes the subject and is like, I love your Mexican food, Mrs.
Yeah.
Tim's mom. It looks fun because Tim's mom's like, oh, thank you. Like, how sweet. And the dad's, like, grumbling off to the side, gay people. And so, like, that's all you kind of get from that scene. It ends, and you're kind of, okay, like, it looks like it went well. Then you immediately smash cut to, like, Tim running down the street to Ben's house,
yes.
like, bangs on the door and is like, my parents fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, understandable.
So,
I get it.
So now it's got to be a secret sexy summer. And
right.
now they're meeting.
Secret sexy autumn.
No, secret sexy autumn. And they're like, meeting in the park. And one fateful evening when they do that, who should see them but Bryce, who's in literally in tall grass.
Bryce
licking his lighter.
It's great. It's right. It's like, it's shot like a serial killer or like an animal from
it's
the
like
point
the
of view of a tiger.
Of like catching somebody with like a mask and a bag with a dollar sign on it.
Right. So also, I cannot remember when he said this. But throughout the beginning of the movie,
1000%.
There are smoke clouds in various scenes of the distance.
Yeah.
There's
like an arson.
Right. There's a throwaway line where Allison says, like, boy, that's like the fourth big fire that's been started this summer. Like, I hope they catch this guy soon. So we know that there is an arsonist. Then we see that Bryce is licking the lighter,
so,
implying that he is the arsonist. As soon as he hits, like, as soon as he turns the lighter on, you immediately cut to what was shot that shows, like, the playground in flames.
Yes.
As soon as this happens, the police are fucking on it.
They're like, teleporting.
Right. They have shown up in sirens, and Tim and Ben are like, we gotta scatter.
Ben runs into Bryce, finds the lighter.
He knocks the lighter out of his hands. Ben picks up the lighter.
Later, they all regather and have the world's most confusing and drawn-out conflict. But at one point,
So first, like, Ben and Tim, is that outside Tim's house or something? I don't know.
I think they're outside Ben's.
Okay. They're outside one of their houses. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're outside
A
one
house.
Of the, right. They're outside one of the houses, and they meet up, and Ben's like, I just saw Bryce. Bryce must be the one starting all these fires. And Tim's like, oh my god, Bryce saw us? Bryce saw us together? Like, this is horrible. And what is he literally? He says, like, how could you let me do, how could you let this happen to me or something?
Yeah,
like,
how could you do this
right,
to me?
Right, which is like, at that moment, she'd be kind of like, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, let's take a step back and talk about, like, who's been doing what in this relationship.
Your dick didn't fall into my mouth.
Right, exactly. So while they're having this argument, and Tim's like, no, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you've made such a mess of my life. What has happened to me? Bryce shows up and is like, hey, Mary Poses that. And Ben is like, hey, douchebag, that means butterfly. And Bryce punches him in the head.
So they all just start fighting. They start fighting.
It dissolves very quickly.
And then at one point, they knock out Bryce.
Right, they knock out Bryce, hits him on the ground. Ben picks up rollerblades, wangs Bryce across the head with a rollerblade. Bryce is like flat on the ground for like, no, sorry. He knocks him flat. And Tim is like, we'll forget what we saw, indicating like the arson, if you forget what you saw. And Bryce is like, and Tim punches him in the face. He collapses on the ground, and for the rest of the scene is splayed out of the ground.
That's like while Tim and Ben like break up.
Right, which is like was it Lee who said that like if this took like a hard left turn into a murder mystery?
I said a much better movie would turn this into a thriller.
Because
for
all the world looks like Bryce is lying there dead on the ground while they're just like, I'm so mad at you, I can never see you again. I'm breaking up with you.
Again, that would have been another moment that if this became a thriller where they're both trying to hide Tim's homosexuality and the murder. I instantly a better movie. Another star.
So basically what happens is Tim dumps Ben. We have a time jump.
Of two years
have passed.
We're in, heavier quotes, Chicago.
Right, which looks a lot like Portland. And so, excuse me, there's another song to cover some bullshit that's happening in this time jump.
It doesn't matter.
Who cares? We see that Ben is going to college in Chicago. He gets a phone call from Alice, and Alice is like, my dad is dead, a character whom we have never seen before, but is in the books. And that's kind of like all we get. She's like, you have to come down and spend time with me. And Ben's like, okay, fine. So
for like 3 weeks.
Like, I guess it's got to be close to Christmas.
It's winter break. Yeah. Because he flies back on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So it's like.
Okay.
So you have that excuse to cover it. So he's on the plane. And there is a flight attendant named Jace, who we see. And Jace has a lot of witty banter.
Well, it's definitely...
Yes.
It's so witty. It's flirtation as written by AI or aliens. It's so bad.
Yeah.
You basically need, like, a Chiron telling you, like, this is witty.
Yes. The year is 1998, and this is witty.
And this is witty.
And you're about to watch a sparkling hot.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, there's, like, this extended bit about
name
Jace's
tags.
Name tag.
Right, where Jace
says,
Jace says, hi, I'm Jace. And Ben says, your name tag says Jason, which is also a weird thing to say. Like, yeah, duh. Like, that would be saying again, like, if your name tag said Benjamin. And you're like, that's weird. You say your name is Ben, but your name tag says Benjamin. Like, yeah, that's how fucking nicknames work,
right.
Dumbass. So he says, yeah, they won't let me put Jace on my name tag. Where do you get these name tags from anyways? They're like just a store that makes them or something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where you get name tags, my dude. They come from stores.
To be clear, it's probably not a store. It's probably a B2B situation.
Right. That's true. That is true. But, like, it's just, like, presented as a remote of,
actually.
Right.
It's weird to, like, frame that as anything mysterious.
And frankly,
right.
There's probably an engraver or a printer somewhere where it's blank, and they could have given him Jace if they wanted to.
But it's just such a remote to be like, where do you think these come from? It's like,
yeah, it's,
who cares?
No, the point is, obviously they come from a factory. Somebody
yes.
fucking made them. It's a piece of metal, my
right.
God.
Like, yeah, like, why
it
is
came
the...
out of the earth.
Right. Well, it starts with miners working in the bowels of the earth.
You can just feel the screenwriter just sweat pouring off their body as they reach for something with this dialogue.
This is a direct quote from the book.
It is. That bit really reeks
of, like, this is 4 a.m. and I need to finish.
Yes. No, it does. It does. And also, like, Jace has another weird moment where he's like, are you going to a funeral? And Ben's like, what do you mean? He's like, you look sad. And people only look sad when they're flying, but they're going to a funeral. Which is like, I look sad when I fly all the time because flying is miserable by and large.
It's like, you know, if it were, like, the 1960s and we had, like, Pan Am stewards.
Right, yes. We had, like, our
suit.
Spacious seats and everything.
Yeah.
We're wearing suits. They're like, yeah, sure.
So after this, you know, this conversation that captures both of their hearts.
Right, we cannot ignore the sparkling chemistry happening on screen.
I mean, and Jace is, to his credit, the most normal human we get.
Right,
in
so
he's
like,
the best actor.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
The other thing I would want to say about him is that he feels like his character is the most likable because he's not really a character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's just like an archetype.
Right, he's
like,
just like a sweet guy who loves Ben the most.
Endlessly patient
right.
boyfriend.
Yes, exactly. So, like,
he's like, you know, it's against the rules for me to ask you out, because like I said, HR specialists are sadists. But here's my number, you can ask me out. But it turns out to be moot because
Jace just calls him anyway
and is like, hey, so let's spend New Year's Eve together.
Right, which is super weird. That didn't even occur to me at the time that still Jace is the one to call him, despite the fact, like, how did Jace get his number?
So why
did he
set it up?
Right,
know.
Yeah. Yet another
Jace
thing.
Jace is, like, going through the manifest.
Yes, right. So
breaking so many, like, FAA rules.
They're at, while he gets his phone call, he's at Allison's dad's funeral, and Allison is like, you must transfer back to Texas. Don't stay in Chicago.
Move
it. Transfer colleges. Which is, again, an insane ask for someone to be like, I know you've already started taking classes in other school. Please transfer to this other school just because I'm so sad.
Which makes you wonder, why did we even go to Chicago?
Yes, exactly.
Just from a story perspective.
Yeah, no, you need not do that. So Ben's like, okay, fine. I guess I will uproot my entire life and transfer here. While this has happened, Jace has asked him out on a first date. Ben acquiesces. They go to an ice skating rink in a mall. And they have like a fairly rote scene where just the two of them.
I need to talk about that one shot.
Yes. So yeah, it's mostly
oh my God,
right. It's a pretty rote discussion of just the whole like, hey, what's your dating history like? They're like, well, I had this boyfriend in high school named Tim who would never be what I want him, blah, 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 blah. So all this is happening. They get all this shot out of the way. And then there's like a scene where Jace is skating away and leading USA. Like,
yeah. So
like, it, it's one of those moments where, like, it sort of feels like the ground is disappearing from you. It's like, you, as a viewer, you're like, what's happening?
Right, no, it looks like he's an optical illusion. It looks like the ice has melted and he's plunging into the pool beneath him.
Because the camera's at this weird angle.
It's like it's panning.
The camera is panning up in a weird way where it's also angling on him at the same time. So it looks like the background is rising and he is, like, in the same spot. So it looks either like his legs are spreading apart. Like, I expected a wide shot where he's like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
He's
like, no.
Splits.
Yes.
Or, like, just on his knees.
Right.
Like doing this sort of escalator, but like on
I have to go down to the lower level of the mall and get to the Cinnabon.
But it is confounding. It is so strange.
No, it was one of like the most bizarre camera things, like camera twists I've ever seen in this movie.
Oh my God.
So their boring ass date wraps up. Jace takes
him back and fucking his Airstream.
Right, they take him back to his little trailer.
He complains at one point of having, ooh, he gets bad headaches.
Right.
File that away for later.
Right, Jace mentions, like, also, I get headaches. I understand what it's like to have a bad boy for some shit.
Which, for those of you who have watched bad TV and bad movies, you know that's gonna...
Right, this is the equivalent of someone coughing into a handkerchief.
Chekhov's migraine.
Right, yes.
So, it is literally like if this was like a Gilded Age period piece.
Right, someone
would
cough.
Tuberculosis.
Right, you'd see like a dab of red on the handkerchief.
Right.
You'd be like, oh no, I know what's happening here.
Yeah.
So they go back, he meets Jace's cat Samson, he sees like all Jace's quirky shit, like Jace's whole personality is like, I'm a sweet boy. Yeah, Jace loves biographies. They
he does have a Hitler book though.
Yeah, he does have a Hitler book. Which,
next to the Dalai Lama.
Right.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
In a modern day, I'd be like, that's a bit of a red flag right there.
Because it is one of like 20 books he has.
Right, that's the thing too, like you made a choice to have Hitler's biography.
Also another red flag against the best man in this movie, Jace, is he has a bed full of airline pillows.
Yes, which almost feels like, again, if this movie was like a comedy and a better one, it would lead into that as a joke.
Right.
His entire bed is those miniature airline blankets stitched together into one large blanket or something.
So they, presumably they fuck, and then the next morning... They're like...
That's when we have the weird afterglow of him scratching Jeff's head, scratching Jace's back,
and they're,
as Jace is petting the cat Samson.
It's very much like watching A Chain of Monkeys pick Nets up.
Yes.
But they have a conversation immediately about, let's make this official, which we're like...
because...
Just barreling through it.
Some of us were like, has it been... Is this another mnemonic?
Yeah, has time passed?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I truly don't know.
It could be.
Yeah.
The dialogue does tend to be
ponderously
expositional when that happens.
Like,
right.
It does seem like it is the next day, but it doesn't make sense.
No, I agree with that. Like, it's very confusing, because if it's not supposed to be the next day, then you don't open the scene with them in bed together.
So your logical brain kicks in and is like, this must be a time gap.
Right, yeah. It's like, the thing to do is to show them wearing different clothes, like, outside
or
something.
They went on one date.
Yeah.
They had one sex.
Yeah, one sex. How many sexes did you have?
One sex, please.
And Jace is like, my itinerant career, let's be long distance boyfriend.
Yes.
But then...
Ben says, do you travel to, where the fuck is it?
Austin.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I really don't. He's like, oh, well, I'm thinking of transferring there. And when I say thinking of transferring there, I mean I am transferring there. And I guess it's happened already.
Which I think, like, literally two scenes later, Jace basically says the same thing to him. Calls him and is like, hey, sorry, I have to take care of Samson.
So what's happened is, he's like, don't worry. Jace is like, don't worry, we're gonna make this work, it's fine. Then we cut back to, like, them in classes, he's with Allison and her current boyfriend, and Jace calls him on the phone, and Jace is like, hey, I'm sorry, I know we said that we would, like, get together this weekend, but my sister can't take care of Samson, so I have to stay home and take care of Samson. And Ben is immediately like, ugh, fuck you, man. And, like, hangs up the phone on him, and it's like, you little bitch, this is an insane thing to do.
Because literally, he walks up to him, and Jace is like, yeah, if you had stayed on the phone, I would have said, because I've moved to Austin for you, you asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, this is, like, this is, like, the insane thing that I think Jace always does, is Jace will say something that's a bummer, you don't want to hear. Ben will react as though he's told him that the world is ending, and then be like, I'm done talking to you right now, I have the phone. Then Jace will be like, but wait, I got us tickets to Paris. And then Ben's like, I can forgive you now. You shit.
Ben flies off the handle at everything.
Yes. So after this has happened, we see that Jace is standing outside, I guess, like, it's their apartment, right? It's Ben's apartment, because it's that same outside that we see them.
It has to be.
When they're graduating. He's waiting for Ben outside his apartment. He's got Samson in a little cat box. He's like, I had a surprise for you, actually. Like, you were such a fucking asshole and hung up the phone. I was trying to talk with you. And Ben's like, hey, I'm so cute. And so he takes them to his new apartment. He has just moved there for Ben.
Right.
He has, like, uprooted his entire life and is now living there. And Ben's like, like, I guess we can still be boyfriends.
I think we've been dating for 9 months.
Yeah.
Because there's a time jump.
Yeah,
there's
there
a,
the time jumps in this movie are
so, like, again,
nonsense.
Jace is the most normal character, but this is still...
crazy.
Not
right, no, that's still the right. That's still, like, such a huge fucking thing to do after someone you've dated for not that long. And for someone, again, who's being, like, kind of a lunatic to you, whenever you say, bad news, because of my work schedule, I can't see you, for that person to be like, ugh, like, you're avoiding me or something like that. It's like, no, this is work, my dude. This is how life is.
So,
it sucks. I get it. But
that's what you get when you date an older boy.
Right, and when you date, right, and when you date a flight attendant who, like, travels to different places all the time. Like, this is simply how it is. And so then he says, and not only am I moving here, I'm also getting us tickets to Paris for spring break. And Ben's like, ah, tee.
I love you again.
Yes.
So they go to Paris.
Which, again,
Paris
looks remarkably like Portland.
Well, and it's so funny how, like, they just digitally insert the Eiffel Tower into the background. And then for, like, two or three of, because it's another montage, and for, like, two or three of those, it's just the Louvre.
The pyramid.
Like,
the glass pyramid of the Louvre.
Yeah.
It's like they're standing in front of the Louvre kissing in between columns or something. They're walking down the street in the background. You see, like, French cars driving by.
But then, like, in every single window of any building they're in, Eiffel Tower.
Correct.
Just out there. And it really felt like you were going to see a guy in a striped shirt
with a
baguette on a bus.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, have you never been to Paris? You can see the Eiffel Tower from
everywhere.
In Paris.
Everyone
knows.
Jace takes him to a restaurant where he is surprised you're going to perform for the
whole,
for everyone.
Right. He's the, like, I talked to the waiter ahead of time, and you, like, is this a restaurant where someone would normally be singing? Like, I guess, like, they might have a live musician or something.
The MC and the band seem to already, like, I think they're just there.
Yeah, I guess that's so that's probably.
I think he
true.
Just, like, sweet talked somebody into being like, can, like, your regular, like, chanteuse sit out for a song?
Right.
Like,
yeah, it was. This scene perplexed me so much.
Yes.
Like, doesn't he? He's never been that comfortable with singing.
Correct.
Right. Yeah,
so
he
doesn't seem like a great thing to
because
do.
It is a conceit
anyway.
In this movie that he is supposed to be uncomfortable singing
in
front of people.
Right.
Yeah.
He is. He has the best little voice in the world, but he hates to sing in front
of
people.
So his boyfriend is like, you should do, I'm going
right.
to secretly make this happen.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Which
it's supposed to be sort of like, I'm pushing you out of your comfort zone.
Which is crazy.
But I do agree that, like, yeah, that's not the sort of thing you spring on someone. That's the sort of thing you say, like, hey, like, why don't you get over your fear of singing in public? Why don't you get up there and sing something? And then you let him say yes or no. But instead you, like, sit down and you're like, I already told the waiter you'll be singing La Vie en Rose to us. And so he goes up to sing. First of all, like, the mic feeds back, so, like, I guess Ben doesn't know how a microphone works.
Well, that's also, I feel like, really cheap film and television shorthand for, oh, this is an awkward thing, because there's always mic feedback to be like, oh, what a dork.
Right.
Yeah.
So he, like, starts singing the song, then we have a filter effect on the scene as he continues to sing the song, sings it with the most heavenly voice I've ever heard. In the crowd, you see Allison with a beret and a striped shirt.
Hilarious.
And you see Tim, like, turning around and looking at him. And it's one of those things where, like, okay, this is obviously a fantasy sequence.
And he's, like, freaked out by it?
Yeah, it's weird that he's, like, to the point that I was kind of like, is Tim actually there the first time I saw this?
So my part, the part of it that throws me is, obviously in this movie, the most important relationship you're ever going to have is the straight guy in high school.
Like, you gave hand jobs.
Right, and, like, kind of force you into a weird one-sided relationship.
Right.
And that's
the love of your life.
That's the love of your life, and you need to return to it in adulthood at some point, at some time.
Yes.
So I get, within the movie's logic, why he sees Tim there.
Yes.
Why does he see Allison?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
no,
super
no
weird.
No one knows.
Yeah. Yeah. So this bullshit goes on. We cut back to, like, the real world where Tim is Ben is singing it badly and the crowd literally boos him.
Yeah. And he sits down with Jason. He's like, I'm sorry.
Which I fucking love that they literally boo him. It feels like it's one of those things where, like, in real life you would just get sort of, like, one person politely applauding everyone else and be like,
are they booing because of the
it
mic?
Says, it literally, oh, maybe because of the mic, I guess.
Because it,
like,
feeds back again.
That's true, but it's such
boo.
A, like, it's so weird to boo, like, the mic. Like, no, I'm not booing your performance. It is a microphone, sir.
But, like, it's the whole point of the picture, but, like, it's because he's not singing terribly. He's just sort of awkward and nervous.
Well, see, that's what I can't tell. I wonder if, that, like, when you cut to that weird moment, is it supposed to imply that, like, he sounds great here, but in real life, he's being awkward and stumbling over it? Like, I don't know,
it's
maybe.
It's difficult to tell because
he's just kind of whining it out.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only way he sings.
But he whines everything out. And even in his fantasies, he's doing this painful, like, awkward affectation that's so annoying.
Yeah.
So after this concludes, they come back to America. There's a scene in a restaurant with Allison and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just having some little bullshit chat about, like, their, you know, lives and everything like
that.
And all of a sudden, over Ben's shoulder, we see Tim. It's Tim. He's
so,
back, and he's in a sweater.
I really just
a sweater and a pink shirt.
Yeah, he's in a sweater and pink
really
shirt,
just,
so you know that he's had some revelations.
Now.
I really, exactly. That's our visual cue. Ooh, homosexual now. But he also looks like, I believe one of us said at the time, it looks like he's just come out of a Nancy Meyers film.
He's very Nancy Meyers chic at that moment.
Yeah.
He comes up to the table. It's like, oh my god, Ben, like, I can't believe it's actually you. I'm seeing you here. And Ben's like, like, I gotta split. It, like, leaves Allison to deal with the check. Runs out into the
super,
street.
Super cool.
Right, he's a great friend. He runs into the street. Tim hightails it after him and is like, oh, please, like, I have so much I want to talk to you about. Like, there's so much I've learned about myself over these past couple of years. Take my burner drug dealer cell phone. And, like, presses a cell phone into his hands. Ben's just sort of like, yes, this is normal. Puts it in his pocket.
And then he's later, like, back at the apartment with Allison being like, so, what do you think we're going to talk
well,
about?
Well, no, she says something like, I knew he was here. I saw him at school. He's at the same school as us.
She also wisely said nothing to
him. Right. She says, like, I saw him. I didn't want to tell you because you're with Jace, and I know as soon as you see this dumbass you went to high school with, your dumb white ass is going to immediately fall to pieces and be like, oh my God, I've got to get back with this jackass. And they're like, while she's saying, like, all these very reasonable things, Ben's like, I wonder what we'll talk about.
Right, exactly.
And it's just like, you have a fucking boyfriend.
Well, and
you lunatic.
And she's literally just like, you probably shouldn't hang out with him. That seems like a bad idea. And he's like, no!
Right, no, we're just friends.
Fine.
It's cool.
Yes.
Right.
And you literally see a scene of him in bed, like, holding the phone above his head, like, looking at it as though it's, like, some sort of treasure.
And then just
and then
drops
it. And he's like, oh!
Yeah, it's like, blork! Well, he picks up the phone.
And this is where we just gotta start. This is where we get to see the first creepy thing that
right.
Tim does to
right.
try to get him back.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've seen some mild sociopathic tendencies
yeah,
before.
Yeah, but
and
we're
now
starting...
we're getting into the point where it's like, interesting.
So Tim is just... outside his home.
Right, Tim is outside Ben's apartment. And you see... because you
glass window.
Yes,
lurking,
right.
Lurking in the bushes.
Glass, right, which I do love. That he's on the first floor with, like, a full glass window that he just leaves open. So it's,
yeah, like, no
right.
no blinds, no
right.
curtains,
he's also,
no frosted
he's also just
paint.
In shorts,
right.
which I'm like, wow, you're giving the body to your...
Right.
To the
no,
people,
I'm saying, like, I feel sort of like, I don't know, maybe the onus is on you to cover up if you don't want people to see you when you're all together.
It's also
but,
like a crazy apartment that gives you that kind of...
Yeah,
right.
I know, right? Like, that's such a... That's,
crazy
that's a,
ass.
Also,
yeah, that's like an insane window. He looks up, he sees Tim...
The gate stalker, she was on the other foot, truly.
Right,
yeah.
Yes, it's on the blue sheet.
He's calling
right
him
now.
And is like, what are you wearing? Are
no,
you
he's,
wearing shorts?
No, he
hat?
Says something like, you look like you've been working out. He does not look like he's been working
no,
out. He
no
looks
offense,
exactly
but...
the same. No, he looks great. I'm not, like, knocking him by any means, but he looks exactly the same as he looked in high school. Average. It's fine. He
it's
looks
fine.
Good.
It's
but,
fine.
Like, you wouldn't look at this guy and be like, damn, someone's been hitting the gym. He comes inside. They have a little chat where he basically just says, oh, like, I've come out to my parents. I'm living my true gay life now. Please, like, I hope we can still be friends. Like, let's talk some more, like, at a later point where we can actually sit down and talk about things, blah, 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 blah. We also find out after this that, like, or it might have been before, where Allison implies that Tim has a sugar daddy.
A much older gay man who's
right.
quite rich.
Right. And she's like, all I know is that he's living in a big fancy house and he has a lot of money now. Jace basically shows up again because he's his boyfriend. Ben is like, hey, you'll never guess what. I just hung out with Tim. He gave me his drug cell phone, and now he wants to be friends with us.
Jason Stanley is like, I have some concerns.
Right,
Jason
is like, let's talk about this for a moment. Okay, but I think it's important for us to be seen as boyfriends,
and
which I think he's right.
Smack dab in the middle of this conversation, Tim, psycho move number two,
yeah.
shows up at the door and is like, well, if we're all going to be friends, I thought, why not with pizza?
Right, yeah, and there's like a rumor where Jason's like, but Ben likes Italian, or Ben likes Thai food, and Jason and Tim is like, but he also likes Italian, and they're like, okay, fine, whatever. So they go in and they have this little chat, and this comes up again, the concept of a sugar daddy, where Jace sort of says, like, so, I hear you got a lot of money now, living in a
Jace
nice house.
Jace is trying to needle
yeah, right,
all.
And he's like, comment on that. And Tim's like, what? No, how dare you say he was my sugar daddy? He was a friend. He was an older gay man. Why does everyone think that two gay guys can't just be friends? And just because, like, he left me a bunch of money when he died doesn't mean that he was my sugar daddy. He was just a friend of mine. And Ben's like, but it sounds a little like he's your sugar daddy. And Tim's like, okay, fucking off out of here. Yes.
Establish the prelude to Tim.
Right, yes.
Before
no, I'm sorry.
That, the
yes.
prelude, the prelude is, during this conversation.
Before Tim shows up with
yeah.
the pizza.
Jace is like.
Right, oh, when I was doing a flight to Boston, there was a demon twink on the plane named Aaron, who, like, was really scared of flying and wanted to, like.
We don't know that Aaron was
a demon. We don't know that Aaron is a demon twink. There was a little twink on the plane who was very scared of flying, and, like, I came very close to, like, being physically involved with him, but I didn't, because I love you.
He could have been an angelic twink. Oh, no.
Chris, in the J. Bell world, there are no angelic twinks.
No, he is very femme.
Yes,
okay.
They're all, yes.
Really?
He hates femme gays and he hates...
That's
yeah.
really fun.
So anyway, so this
That's
conversation
really
has happened
cool.
without Tim hearing it so
mm-hmm.
far as we know.
Except... they do later clear it up that Ben told him about it. Because
okay.
he says at one point, do you remember how I told you about how Jace met this guy on a plane named Aaron?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
blah, 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 blah.
Right, so yeah, so... meanwhile, Ben is walking home, talking to Allison on the phone. Ha ha ha, we'll hang out later. There is a demon twink stepping on his doorstep.
Wearing different stripes
yes.
of, like, neon-colored
yes.
leopard print.
Yes.
It's amazing. They just decided, we have to make this as aggressively demon twink
yes.
as possible.
He's, like, nailing a note to a post outside his apartment.
Are you Jace's roommate?
Ben's like, no, I'm his boyfriend. And demon twink's like, bitch, I think I got that covered.
Yeah.
And walks away.
Yeah.
And immediately
Can
after
you make
he
sure
leaves,
he gets the note?
Right, makes him bye. And as soon as he leaves, Jace walks up from the other direction. Could have seen this guy leaving.
Within seconds
yes,
of each other.
Yes. And is like, hey, what was that demon twig doing here? And Ben's like, ah, he left a note being like, hey, Jace, loved the sex we had in Boston.
Right.
Can we have more sex now? Love, Aaron. And Jace is like, well, obviously this didn't happen. I would have told you. Something's up here. If you were to ask me what the issue might be, I might say that Tim is doing something.
But
and
then,
Ben is immediately like, how dare you say that
right.
toward thing about Tim?
He huffs off all over to Tim's house because the rich guy has died and Tim has inherited it.
Right, we already
established
that.
This humongo mansion.
Right.
And Tim's like, oh, come in. I'll take care of you.
Here, have some beers.
Have
right.
a bunch of beers.
Yeah,
Ben immediately assumes, like, well, we're going to have sex now, right?
Right. No, like, it's insane how quickly Ben goes from, like, I'm sad and I might have broken up
yeah.
with my long-term boyfriend to being like, should have sex.
And
yeah.
Tim is
and,
like...
And Tim is like, no.
Yeah, Tim, Tim, to his own credit, despite what we find out later, is still like, let's not have sex
we,
right now, you little drunk. Yeah.
And then, but, I mean, that's all over the next morning when,
right.
After Ben fruitlessly tries to get around a padlock into the barn, Tim shows him basically, he's like, transform this barn into his new art studio, and the piece de resistance is a
Photoshop
a collage
of a guy
thing?
From
it
the 1910s.
It's like a picture, and then he painted color.
Yeah, no, it does look. Yeah, it does
but
look like he painted the guy.
It
looks like he took a picture.
And he's like, yeah, that's of I can't remember the guy's
Eric.
Name, but
Eric.
That's of Eric. Thank you, the rich old man who had passed away. And it's like, yeah, this guy's like from yeah, like the early 1900s.
Right, this guy's like a ghost who's haunting your house. This is not a guy who just died.
And
yeah.
somehow, this creates the moment for sex to happen.
Right, right. Ben sees this like, wow, that's so beautiful.
Ben
and like, yeah, right, like a fucking caveman. He like slings Ben over his shoulders, like, come on, butt sex. And Ben's like, beautiful, let's
beautiful.
Continue this. They go outside, they do this. He later tells Allison, like, guess what? I had sex with
and
Tim.
And Allison is like, you fucking
moron. And Allison is like, why am I fucking your friend anymore? Like, what is my purpose here? How do I not have a life of my own or agency?
She calls him and what he's doing lame a whole bunch of times.
Right.
She's not wrong.
Right, and she says, like, do you still love Jace? And Ben is like, yes, I do still love Jace. And it's like, do you still love Jace?
Right.
Like, you immediately were like, I don't know, I'll have sex with this other guy. So Allison is very reasonably like, maybe you should fucking call Jace and see what the deal is. And Ben's like, no, I don't know.
Ben
so,
only realizes that something is wrong when he is on campus.
Right.
And sees Tim talking with Demon Twin,
right.
puts two and two together, and realizes, oh my god, Tim, like,
orchestrated
this whole thing.
Tim hired
and
a Demon Twin to go to my boyfriend's house, put a note on the door being like, thanks for the sex.
So Ben goes over and basically starts shit. The Demon Twin is like, I'm out of here.
And later.
As
the most logical thing that happens in this whole
yes.
As Ben tries
yeah.
to storm off, I just love that Tim is like, hey, I told you I would do anything to
right.
get you back.
Yeah.
As if that's
like,
explained
right,
anything.
If no, like, Ben were to hear that and be like, ah,
I
did you
did
warn me.
Yeah.
To be fair, you did say that,
that
I remember.
In the contract.
Yes.
I just want to be very clear. That should be your out of my life level.
No,
okay,
at this point,
yeah.
it's like you're done with this person.
You lied to me, you manipulated me.
That should
you,
be like, you go to a court and get a court.
Right, you get
right.
a restraining order from
yeah.
this guy.
You
so
gaslit
that, yeah.
me into believing my boyfriend cheated on me and then, quote unquote, consoled me
yeah.
so we could then be back to. It's
right.
insane.
Right. I think, like, the one thing that I do kind of like about the scene, which I think is an interesting plot thread that is shockingly never developed in any meaningful way, is that Tim says to Ben something like, you wanted this to happen. Like,
right.
deep down, you wanted an excuse to leave, and you wanted to believe that your boyfriend would cheat on you so that you could be with me.
Which
it's
is
like,
probably true.
Right. And it's like, that's kind of a potentially interesting thing for, like, Ben to then go back home and be like, hey, was this the case? Like, did I actually, was I looking for an excuse
yeah.
to break this up?
But Benjamin Bennett does not
no,
reflect.
No, he doesn't.
Anyway,
no, yeah, no learning, no evolving. So after this has happened, they graduate from college. They're sitting outside their apartment. Allison is like, I think Jace is here and he wants to see you. Jace shows up with some flowers, hands them to Ben, and is like, congratulations on graduating. Ben's like, teehee, I slept with Tim. And Jace is like, well, I guess we're fucking done here, and walks away. Again, the most rational thing a person
yep.
can do at that point.
And then, of course, the movie needs to flip the dial right back because...
The next
scene
yes.
is...
On the plane.
They're on a plane to somewhere. We see Allison and Ben.
Somehow have figured out Jace's
yeah,
working
figured
out.
Yeah.
out.
There's no...
Right. Unless he has, like... Does he have, like, Jace's login information or something?
Yeah.
He's, like, stalking
like,
again.
His, like, HR.
Right.
Like, intranet.
No.
Be like, because they've been broken up long enough that it's like he probably wouldn't know, like,
right.
what his regular schedule
right.
is.
But we also don't know how long it's been. They got on the
yeah.
plane and he's like, wow,
you... Could you imagine if he gets on and he's like, this is the 8th flight I've...
We have been all around America the past 2 days. I have not slept.
I don't need this right now. Yeah. They sing a Neo song that wouldn't come out for another 2 years.
Right, Allison pulls out her, like, baby Casio and then keyboard.
Jace
yeah,
is like...
they serenade Jace, but the right. whole play.
And right, which is fucking great. Everyone on the play loves it when you stop and sing
it's,
to a person.
It's one of those stories on Reddit where it's like, and then everyone clapped.
Yes.
Don't we kind of cut from
we
there
cut
to
from there
Jace and Ben getting married?
To the, yeah,
well, I'm sorry, Mayor Reed, because it's Texas.
Well, right,
it's more
like, yes,
not.
It's not a marriage in the legal sense, but they're, like, basically having a commitment ceremony with their family. The song is hovering over this sort of shit. You stand together, getting married.
Ben joins community theater.
Right, yes, yes. Ben decides to do community theater.
And then Tim is just, like, sort of sadly watching.
Right,
yeah.
And you see, like, it's
the audience.
Where it's such a weird transition, too, because you transition from the wedding to the community theater, and it's like, is this more of a fantasy sequence in his head at first?
It seems that way.
It seems to be, it's like another small
yes.
theater space, and you're kind of like, okay, is he making this up? But then, like, no, you see that he's dressed as a little sailor boy, and there's, like, Tony from West Side Story and Anita from West Side Story on the stage.
But
and,
he's
like,
also still singing,
but he's
the
still singing
song
a Neo song
from the montage.
Right, so, like, who the fuck knows?
And
you see
a shot of the audience.
Right,
and
you see Tim, like,
half
in the back
shadow.
Row. Right, yes. Right.
Kind of like glowering. Just
right,
like.
Yes. He's been hit with a tish light across his eyes, so all you can see is him glowering. And then, like, as they're doing their vows, Tim, like, up and runs away, and that's all you kind of get from them there.
We got maybe, like, one other reminder of Jace's terrible.
Right, Jace is like, I had a migraine,
yeah.
blah, blah. So,
the time skip again?
Right.
The yeah. time skip again, I believe a couple years?
I don't know if it's
no,
years.
It's 3 years until the wedding, and
yeah.
then there's the community theater scene, and they aren't clear
as to how much time has passed.
How much
yeah.
time has passed. We're in their kitchen again, and
right.
Jace has, like, an extra bad headache.
Right, Jace is
and
like,
Ben's
oh.
just making sex jokes.
Right, and yeah, Jace is like, oh, my head hurts a lot, hand me some Tylenol or whatever. Ben goes to give Jace Tylenol, Jace drops his coffee mug, collapses on the floor, and is, like, kind of shuddering. They call 911, they're rushed to the hospital, the doctor is talking to Ben, and the doctor is like, he just had an aneurysm, and Ben is left like, oh, his grandma died of one of those. Like, great, thanks for telling
yep.
us. So,
and he's like, oh yeah, he technically survived this one, but there's going
to
be a couple of others.
Right,
but it's sort of moved
surgery.
Because he just dies.
Right, then as soon as Ben comes
yeah.
into the room, Jace sees him and is like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And, like,
he, like, wakes up a little bit, and yeah, Ben touches his hand,
again.
And then
yes.
immediately flatlines.
Yes. Which
yeah.
is so funny. I love that, like, literally, as soon as he touches him, Jace is just like, nope.
Which is a weird, like, it's like, in another better written movie, it's meant to be like, he hung on long enough to
right.
see Ben last time, but it
yes.
looks like the sight of Ben made him have a
it's like, if he said anything to him as soon as he walked in, you could be like, okay,
yeah.
he was hanging on just to see his husband one last time,
yeah,
but instead
yeah.
it really does read, like, the reminder that Ben is still here, which is the straw that broke the camel.
It's also another moment that feels way like fan fiction, because clearly it's like, the writer is like, we gotta make this we gotta move this along, we gotta get him off the board quickly, because we got about 10 or 15 minutes left of the movie.
Yeah.
So, Jace is just killed off
ignominiously. Jace dies, which was like, I was so fucked, when I first saw this movie, I was fucking angry.
I was too!
When this happened. Not in, like, the sense, Jace didn't deserve to die, in the sense of, like, fuck you, writers,
right.
for pulling this shit.
Right!
Yeah.
It's very cheap.
It's so
yeah.
But it's also not, like, the rights the fucking author.
Right, yeah, no,
this
yeah.
is the book.
Right, no, yeah, no, I'm more mad,
yeah,
I'm more
yeah.
mad at the book, because
yeah.
having read the book, this is almost exactly how it does happen in the book. The book spreads it out a little bit, he does go home briefly after his first, I don't know, episode order, you call it.
Aneurysm,
and then,
yeah.
yeah, and then is going to have surgery later on, but then dies at home with Ben.
So,
and then we cut to Ben being a little sad boy.
And I believe it, isn't it like 3 or 5 years we cut forward?
Not yet.
No, he's being a sad boy. I guess
in a parking lot.
He's supposed to be like holed up in a hotel.
Right. They say that he's in a hotel,
but it's a parking lot.
Right. For budgetary purposes, we cannot show a hotel.
He's just like out in the parking
and
lot
sort of,
with the cat.
They sort of gesture to the hotel off screen.
And then like
right.
his parents like.
And then
up.
His parents show up and mom's like, hey, like you seem like you're sad, and Ben's like, well, my boyfriend's brain exploded, so what do you expect? And she's like, well, I brought you a fruitcake.
What am I supposed to do with a
right.
fruitcake?
And Ben says, what am I supposed to do with a fruitcake? A logical question, to which mom says, would someone like to pick this up?
I don't know.
It's, a fruitcake is
there's,
nothing
there's no purpose to a
right.
fruitcake.
There's no purpose to a fruitcake except as an excuse to bitch.
And you have earned the right to bitch.
Yeah.
Which you're like... That's a hell of a
no,
way to
this
put,
is
like as if this is some like established like
lore.
Meaning
yes.
for this type of cake.
Right, that like you like when someone is in mourning, you present them with a fruitcake,
but
like,
also,
now you have an excuse to complain about how sad you are.
But also, it's such a crazy way to put that. Like, yeah, your husband died. You've really earned a good bitch session.
That's an insane yeah, I mean it's is that from the book? Because it
no.
is one of the most insane.
The fruitcake thing
not,
is not from the book.
It is not
I've
book.
Ever heard of.
No, that is shockingly not from
the
book.
It's again where the room influence comes in. Because
I mean, to me, it reminded me of like Anakin and Padme in Episode
yes.
2 having their love dialogue, where she's like,
I
"It's
love
because
Sans.
I'm so in love." No, I'm so in love with you. And she's like, "So love has blinded." You're like, "What? What? How do these phrases connect to each other?"
Also, like. The fruitcake, you give fruitcakes at Christmas.
Right.
It's like a bad gift.
Right.
When you give, it's a funeral, you give casseroles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, also, like, if you're going to bring your son anything, like, bring him something he wants.
Yeah.
Like, don't bring him a fruitcake as an excuse to bitch.
No, usually it's like, you give them food because they can't
cook for themselves.
Yeah, you don't want
them
to be able to worry about eating.
Right. And so it also just feels like the, maybe you should just come up and be like, hey, why don't you move back in with us for a bit?
Yeah.
Like, now that your husband has died.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, it's sad. So then we cut to another song where Allison is singing all his thoughts.
I think it's the original.
One of two original songs where Allison, who looks very much like she has died, is barefoot wearing a flowing white diaphanous gown on stage,
yeah,
while Ben is sitting there sulking in a chair hunched over.
And they're playing all these like recordings of like answering machine
right.
messages.
It's very much
which
like,
is,
the,
like, this is supposed to be
like,
a time
right.
scale.
It's like you hear like his dad being like, hey, I'm driving up. We're going to have dinner. And Allison's being like, hey, like you blew me off. Like, please don't do that. Let's go hang.
Yeah. He's like depressed. He's
right.
withdrawn
it's
from
it's
life.
It's like the end of Rent, basically, where all the parents are calling, being like,
right.
where are you, son? While this has happened, we have yet another passage of time after this ends. And I think it's one thing real quick to note is that passages of time in this movie are not conveyed with simple chyrons, as you might normally imagine. They are conveyed with real-world things. At one point
mm-hmm.
on a cake, you see 3 years later. On a waitress's apron, you see, like, 9 months
yeah,
later
yeah.
or whatever. And when you see the cab at the end, it's like, what, 5 years later?
5 years later.
Yeah. So as the cab drives by on the cab, it says 5 years later.
And it's a very pregnant Allison.
Right, Allison doing,
this thing.
Right, doing some very pregnant acting where she constantly holds her stomach to let you know that, like, yes, baby. He's inside.
And you get the sense that she basically had to, like, force Ben into this. He's like, I don't
yeah.
want to. She's
right.
like, no, you'll love this.
Right.
Like, I'm not sticking around. See
right.
ya.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. Where she's like, no, this is a good thing that I'm doing for you. I'm not going to explain to you what I'm doing, but we're going to this event at a studio.
And it's Tim's
and it's
art
Tim's
show.
Art show. Tim has resurfaced.
And there's butterflies everywhere.
Fucking
he's got a butterfly pin. There's
yes.
this, that, and the other. He's
yes.
like, I really want to publicly thank the person that helped me and my art come out
yes.
of the closet. And you're just like, aw.
Let the record show that Chris is making the jerk off motion.
It's so dumb.
Yes. No, it is very much dumb. And like,
especially because he doesn't even know that like Ben is coming.
Right.
So...
Right. He just says something like, if he were here, I would
yeah.
say this to him or something.
Yeah.
So Ben can be like, oh, he loves me. And then like sulks off in a corner, sits down in front of a painting of a heart over like ferns and like plants himself there for the rest of the
somehow representative of Ben.
Yeah,
I think
guess
it's kind of like a sacred heart because Tim is Mexican and Catholic.
Okay, is
that
okay?
Lot.
I didn't know that. I'm not familiar with that. So like, okay, what
correct.
Does a sacred heart mean? Is it a religious thing?
It's like a. It's a. It has something to do with marriage.
It okay,
is.
So I was gonna
yeah.
say like it feels like it's not like a love thing so much as it is iconography.
It is.
So like
yeah.
it's not
I mean,
something because like I agree with Lee. It does feel like it should be a painting that somehow represents Ben in some way, but instead it's just like a heart on a floral background, which like I guess could,
yeah.
but it doesn't feel as overt to some of the other shit he's done.
No, it's just sort of like, that's where the bench is, so that's
right.
where Ben plants himself
right.
for the entire art show.
Right.
Well,
you see,
like time lapses around.
Right.
Yeah.
People, like, everyone leaves except for him. Tim walks over to him, sits down next to him. They have, like, three lines of dialogue.
It's,
Ben, like, holds out his hand slightly and then grabs Tim's hand. Fade to black.
Yeah, it is, like,
it
all
is.
The dialogue is, it's just like, we were always really complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were.
Right.
It's something very vague
and,
like that.
And like, guys, I don't think you're that complicated, to be honest with you.
Toxic? Maybe.
Toxic, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, this is not what... Yeah, again, this is... Complicated is not the word
and
I would use.
It's just wild to me that the way the movie frames the relationship as, of course this was meant to be, and we're not
right.
going to address what a fucking psychopath Tim has been.
Right. Not at all. Right, there will be no comeuppance for this. At no point will Ben, like, having that him again, be like, hey, remember that time where you broke up me and Jace?
Right.
Who's dead? Now,
right.
it's just sort of like, no,
you ain't married.
Right, yeah. We won't be paying attention to that. We had said when watching this, the comparison to Something Borrowed.
Yeah.
Ben, similar to Jennifer Goodwin, is just like a sad sack who,
it
like, has no initiative.
Aggressively performing that.
Right.
Of just like,
yeah.
oh,
right.
I don't even know why you would be around a gay
right.
guy.
But the other thing that this has in common
like
from
me.
Is Something Borrowed, when I first watched this, I had no fucking clue where this movie
mm-hmm.
wanted me to go. It seems to me the movie has done a lot of work to be like, Tim is bad. Stay away from Tim. Stay with Jace. So that when Jace dies and Tim just, like, enters stage right is like, hey buddy, back again. I'm supposed to be like, thank God
thank
they
God.
Had their chance
well,
to get back together.
Because he's the most important relationship, and that's just, we should all want to be with the straight guy in high school we were really into. Plus, it does then carry with it this idea of like, oh, all that behavior was just indicative of how much he loves Ben.
Right,
yeah.
right. There is, so Faith and I have read, I have read several of the books in the series. So the way the series
are
works.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I'm a deeply damaged person. Thank you for asking.
You're so welcome.
This is like every conversation Brendan and I
for
have
like
had
the past
for the last
2 months.
Month.
Yeah. So the way these books work is something like Summer is the story from Ben's perspective. Then you have something like Autumn, which is from Tim's, right?
No, or something Jace's. Like Autumn is Jace, and then Winter is
Tim. And then Winter
Tim.
Is Tim. So basically the way it works is you were learning different things about the story because you were reading them from other people's perspective, which is, like, not, I think, the worst premise, but the problem with the premise, I think, is that you are not getting the full story for what's happening. So when Tim shows up and is like, hey, I've lived life experiences, I'm different now because of X, Y, and Z, all you get is this character being like, hey, I've changed, just so you know. But you don't get to actually see why that's happened. The other thing that happens in the book that you don't get in this one is that whenever Allison at some point, I think it's the prelude to her taking Ben to the art gallery opening, meets up with Tim again and is like, we got to get him back in the market. Yeah. She's like, you know, I have to on some level respect what you did putting that note on Jace's door. I'm like, Allison, no, you psychopath.
You really
pregnancy
don't.
Pregnancy has added your brain.
Right. Under no circumstances do you have to give it to him.
It's so insane.
Right. It's just that, like, the author thinks this is like romantic gesture that somehow just was misconstrued, but it's the work of a psychopath.
And frankly, this is another similarity to something borrowed where I'm like, none of these people should be together.
Right.
Jace should go off and find a real sane person to be with.
Yeah, Brendan, I think it's also notable that, like, right after you first watched this, you asked me how many of the books this adapted.
That's right. And my first thought when I watched this is that it was like the animated Lord of the Rings, where it was trying to cram in like two books at once, and Faith was like, this is a book. And I was like, that is insane. How is this just one
book? So it's 800 pages or something?
Yeah, and it spans like 12 fucking years.
It does. I mean, it spans the full 12 years.
I can't get, the page count.
So it's a long book.
Yeah, it's a long book. And just sort of like, this is not how you structure fiction. You know, that is like my biggest, even with like novels where things are a little more loosey-goosey than filmmaking, this is still like, every time I would turn the page of that book, I'd be like, but surely we're almost done, right?
I thought it was like a short book that did the same amount of sort of psychotic time skipping.
It's a long book that does the psychotic time skipping.
Right. You know, there's still a lot of psychotic time skipping. The only advantage is the book has more space to do more, like, bullshit in between it all.
Yeah, the book really does just have, like, a lot of random asides to things that just, like, never go anywhere. Like, there's a whole scene where, like, Ben and Tim trash their journalism classroom.
Right.
And it's never mentioned
again. There were, like, two... Well, because, like...
Ben is mad at the suburbs and, like...
Well, Ben is mad at his teacher. He submitted a poem to the newspaper about, like, two men in love, and the teacher degazed it to make it about a man and a woman. So he, like, trashes the classroom. Then, like, the next day is, like, I trash the classroom. Nothing happens. Like, there's no fallout. It's not like their parents are like, well, you're not seeing Tim anymore. You're grounded. It's literally just like, well, we're done. Like, moving on. So, like, why is that there? Could not tell you. Their book spends, like, several times talking about the characters going to amusement parks, and yet, when Jace finally proposes to Ben in Paris, which is what he does in the book, it is over in, like, a paragraph. He's like, we went to Paris, he proposed to me, I thought it was really great, we went back home, the wedding occurs in, like, 3 pages. Like, you have spent, like, pages and chapters detailing your trip to an amusement park, and when you're getting married, you're just like, yeah, it all happened very fast.
Yeah, we got married, but Six Flags was amazing.
But you should hear about the Superman ride, which is just like this is so fascinating because the book is like seems like it's written by someone who has no sense of like pacing or how writing works, and the movie just feels like it is
the book series is self published.
Yes,
oh, makes sense.
So,
yes, does it also feel as fanficky as the
book? Oh, 100%.
It is absolutely J. Bell writing about himself.
Right? Yeah, he is Ben.
Shocker.
Because like Ben in the books like has all these moments where it's just like. He seems to, like, want people to, like, talk about how, like, they're attracted to him, in spite of, like, how scrawny he is and stuff.
This whole thing is, like, I'm so, like, scrawny and, like, twink, like, what man would want me or something
but,
like that.
But, like, all these, like, hot men love him.
Right, there's, like, a lot of talk about, like, how, like, Tim's penis was so big, but why Jace's penis is also big, too. Like, I'm a lucky boy.
This is, I mean, that is a staple of a lot of romanticism.
Oh, no, I know it is, but it's just sort of just like...
I have six boyfriends, and they're all cum as gods.
Right, it's just like, I'm so lucky. Like, all the handsomest boys love me.
Right.
But this is a bad movie.
It was
this
horrible.
Is a bad movie. And this also, is based off of a bad book.
And it also forgets for long stretches of time that it's a musical.
Right.
Which on the one hand, that's frustrating from it billing itself as a musical, but on the other hand, it's sort of a relief because all the songs suck.
Right. No,
and the guy
songs,
who sings them,
right, the songs
can't sing them
really
well.
Doesn't do anything to like help the plot or establish character. It is just sort of like, again, this is what happens when you have people who don't understand how to write a musical writing a musical, which is sort of like, I think a song should go here. I don't really have a strong sense of what it's about, but
right.
Like, this is where song goes, right?
And like, the songs barely have anything to do with what's going on.
Yeah.
They all sound the same, because I think you pointed out they all have pretty much identical arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where I was just like, fuck it, I probably could have sang that better, and I'm a terrible singer. I don't have a good singing voice.
You're not a Ben Bentley, that's for sure.
I'm no Ben Bentley.
But yeah, I don't know if there's anything else we need to throw out about this movie before we move on, but like, this is it, man. Like, this is truly...
This broke my brain in half.
I'm so glad that we, like, watched this, because this is one of the most unhinged, low-budget movies I've seen in such a long time.
So many things just, like, on paper seem like they're normal, but when you put them all together, it's just like, why is anybody making a single one of these choices?
And it's just, when they are all together, it just feels like this impossible car wreck experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I keep comparing it to The Room, because that's another one where I'm just like, how did you keep making these choices?
Right. I think it's a similar thing where it's like, how are these events building to something? Where it's just like, events will happen, and it's just sort of like, but we're moving towards what
and
now?
Just like, dialogue that seems completely, that is being delivered as if it's something we all know, and you're like, no, that sounds completely alien.
Yeah.
Like, you even pointed out that it felt like there was a lame.
Right.
That was
Allison,
a Paulette
lame. Like, Allison keeps saying lame.
Can I mention, like, sort of like, how I know about this?
Of course.
Yeah.
So this was a book series that I heard about because this YouTuber I used to watch all the time in, like, 2014 would talk about it. And so this YouTuber plays the Spanish teacher.
The student teacher one,
The student teacher in the movie. And his then-husband plays one of the cops in the arson scene. And I noticed he's also in Paris.
Cops can go to Paris.
I guess so. Yeah, I just remember, like, this guy always talking about this book series. And I think I remember, like, when they were in the movie. But also, like, this YouTube couple had a nasty divorce not long after this got filmed.
Because of the movie. They watched the movie and were like, oh no.
Well, no, they didn't watch the movie. I think pretty sure they split up before 2017. And, you know, the movie, like, didn't see the light of day for a couple years.
Right, the movie did, like,
filmed
the festival circuit for a while, and then
made some, like, tiny festivals.
Yeah.
But then,
I hear it won the Grand Prix at Cannes.
Yeah, it did, actually. They showed up in Portland to collect, and were like, wait a minute.
And, like, I had heard it was a movie, and then, like, later on I found out it was a musical, and I had just been like, I need to see this because this sounds atrocious and amazing, and I want to see it. And then I got an email from Letterboxd in February that was like, something like Summer has been added to Tubi, and I was like, we're watching this right now. And then I did, and I was like, now everyone in my life has to watch this.
Yeah, and
so,
you showed it to us as, like, 10 minutes into it. I'm like, this is it. This is what we gotta do. Does anyone want to start?
I can start. The only thing I can say about this movie is, like, one, I find it weird that it's called Something Like Summer, and it seems to have nothing to do with the overall plot. And
correct.
I had asked Faith when she was rereading this book, like, do they say, like, does Ben say, like, Tim's eyes made me feel something like Summer's? I'm like, no. That, of course, that never fucking comes up. So my conceit for this is what it should be, is it should be, like, a condensed version of Linklater's Before Trilogy for Dumb Babies, where it's going to be over three summers.
Sure.
Like, it's going, like, in three segments, where you have, like, Summer of 96, Summer of 99, and maybe, like, Summer of, I don't know, some year in the future, basically, at the point. And it's going to be different segments where, like, the first segment is basically the two of them meeting, you know, having a covert relationship. Things start to fall apart, probably not because of an arsonist, but probably just because Tim is not ready to come out of the closet yet, and the relationship sort of just kind of, like, implodes from there. The second chapter, I think, would be that at this point, Ben has a boyfriend. And I think what I want to be is, in the first one, it's that Tim is not ready to, like, have a relationship. And then in the second one, it's kind of like, well, now Ben's actually not ready to have a relationship with you, because he's with some other guy who ostensibly on paper seems a lot better than you. And so, like, you can sort of show up, and you can sort of feel sad, and you can be my friend, but nothing else is going to come of this. And I think that's kind of how it leads. And I think it's going to end with Tim basically being like, this is not something I can do, actually. Like, I've had a lot of time to think about how I feel about you. I cannot be your friend anymore. This is just too difficult for me. The third part, I think, is going to take place after that, where I am not going to kill Jace, because that's insane. What I think is going to have to happen is, I think that Ben needs to be the one to break up with Jace. I think for Ben, it has to be just a realization that this is bad, but I've liked you because you are safe. You were taking care of me in a way that I thought I needed to be, but, like, that's just not actually who I am at this point in my life. Maybe this is something that I needed several years ago, because I think, like, the biggest issue I have with love triangles in fiction is at some point one character will do something to take themselves so egregiously out of the running, or will die suddenly so that they're no longer in the end. Because, like, if Jace had not died, it's truly is like, how are you gonna fucking wrap up this love triangle? Like, honestly, what would you do with these two characters if you didn't kill one of them? That's the thing I kind of hate the most about love triangles. I think in a love triangle, it has to end with the character making a choice, and that choice might anger you as a reader or viewer, but it is something that they have to do. So what I think it has to do is, it has to be that Ben decides to break up with Jace because he's like, you're a great guy, but this is simply not what I need right now. I think Jace has to be, like, a little angry about this, you know, and it clears the way for Tim and Ben to get back together and hopefully sort of grow together as a couple. Because I think there are elements of this that I find kind of interesting. Like, I like the idea This is something like I told you, Faith, is like something in fiction where it's like characters who kind of keep missing their chance to be with each other, where it's like then something else happens that won't allow us to be together because like you're in a relationship now and I wasn't ready at the time, and then like it sort of comes together at the end. This is not something I really kind of want to do, but I kind of like the idea of two characters sort of realizing that we're in a harmful relationship. Like, this is a relationship that is bad for both of us, and maybe it's something that like once they take a step back from each other, they can sort of work on themselves and fix it in the end. So like that's kind of just what I want it to be. I want it to be sort of like three segments spread over three summers over three different points of time.
I like it.
Yeah.
I can go next if that's
sure.
Cool. Mine's also pretty short. Like I kind of intimated earlier, I think this would be a much better movie if
they didn't make it.
Well, yeah. If Ben clobbers Bryce over the head with a rolling blade, like that literally kills him. Mostly just because I think that would be very funny, and the idea of
is this literally your fix?
Yeah, just listen. Okay. We're going somewhere with
this. All right. Ask and answer.
This is the group home all over again.
You're never living that down.
Yeah,
I know.
I also
brought that on myself. No, what I would want to make this is because that moment was like towards the end of Single White Female when someone gets killed with a stiletto, like literally through the eye. And it's seriously meant in the movie, but it's very funny and campy and over the top to watch.
Yeah.
So my thought was, what if this just becomes a dark comedy about these two people trying to cover up both this murder and Tim's sexuality? I think my thought would be, up until that point, what you think you're getting is sort of like a Dear Evan Hansen parody, because I think the thriller part of it, I would not want that to be too serious, because
yeah,
the focus
yeah.
would not be to make it into a serious story. Yeah, I think it could go in a direction like maybe a less mean Heathers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I am not at all interested in chasing this relationship for 10 plus years. It's so dumb. I don't want them together.
Is Jace going to be like a government agent who finds out what they're doing?
Yeah, exactly. Because like, but you're so cute.
I'll have to use my sexuality.
I'll have to use it. I feel like there's a lot more fun to be had in that mode than playing all this stuff so fucking earnestly, which is what this movie does. And then I think it's quite bad. Where that
so
was...
you're doing a Dear Evan Hansen parody where they kill someone.
And are gay. Yeah.
That's great.
You're welcome,
no,
America.
No further questions.
The kill Connor Murphy?
Yes. Yes.
Kill
the one who convinced him to kill himself.
Killing Evan Hansen.
Killing Evan Hansen.
R.I.P. Evan Hansen. Lee, do you want to?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, favorite movie, obviously.
No notes. It's just like, this may be worst of the year for me, we'll see.
I think that's a very fair answer.
I have to honor, I think, what the author's intention was, which is a book I have fucking zero interest in reading. But he wants a book about these two guys getting together at the end. So I think I would redo it as like a sort of Serendipity When Harry Met Sally
mm-hmm.
type format, where it's like more time skips,
yeah.
not less. But and I think you slow down. Some of them are longer than others that you can see. Like, because again, When Harry Met Sally kind of like slows down when they get to like adulthood
right.
after like one of them's had.
Right. I mean, like When Harry Met Sally's like, there's like two big skips and then it's just
yeah.
sort of like, a
it
year
skips,
or
and then it's kind of like they're both sort of semi-available now,
right.
and then we can start building the romantic tension. But I think you have it be again similar to some of what you're describing. I think you get rid of a lot of the psychotic behavior that just has to go.
Yeah,
it just has to stop. But I think it can start bad and toxic because I think that's fine. I think that's a good way for a character to develop. Over
right.
The time
I think
skips.
That's like that's high school kind of.
It
too,
is
right?
high school.
Oh,
it's like I don't want to.
You're learning how to be a person.
I'm going to pretend like I'm straight and we're going to fuck under the table and.
Yeah.
And you know, no one's gonna know about it. A few time skips later, Ben was like, that was really fucked up that I let myself do that
yeah.
for that long. Gets with Jace and then meets Tim again, but obviously doesn't want to break up with Jace because they got a good thing. And Tim's like, I fucked this up.
Mm-hmm.
Jace can die if he wants, or he can.
Jace, if it makes you happy, you can get out of here.
Die or you can get divorced, but they gotta go.
Yeah.
Right? I think Tim gets a guy at some point. But yeah, I think you do similar things with that where it's just like timing bad. And like maybe there's some sort of maybe reason why they're meeting periodically, and it'll make a lot of sense if I ever had to write it.
Yeah.
But I'm not being paid to.
So you know what? I won't.
So I won't. That'll be for someone else to figure out. And then I think that Tim has to have a sort of like redemption arc at
mm-hmm.
some point in the movie where he needs to like to come to terms with like the shitty things he did when he was younger and also like not like, you know,
recompense, but like do something to prove to Ben that he is like a different
person now. Yes, that he's grown in some way.
Yeah, that he's grown. So I like that maybe they are just friends for a while, similar to when Harry met Sally, and then there is like something that like reminds them of the thing they could have been when they were younger, and they end up together, and yeah. It's fine, and it's and they're both better people than they are in the book. So we're rooting for them, actually. Right,
we actually want these people to do things.
Yeah, and if it's a musical, everyone fucking sings and dances, okay?
Right.
It's not just like cut away to somebody on stage.
No, you mean you actually hire a choreographer?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that's truly just like the weirdest thing. It's like, it's like it would be one thing if these were all in his head, but they're in his head in a black box. And sometimes Allison sings too, but other times she doesn't. And it's like you could just have these people singing these songs in these real scenarios. It's like you're just adding a hat on a hat on a hat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one point.
So no, I think that's pretty much all I got.
I spent way too much time coming up with my fix.
Wow.
Because it also involves a playlist.
Oh,
because
boy.
I am keeping mine a musical.
Ben and Tim's Infinite Playlist.
Well, I was thinking, because I'm like, I'm not writing songs. Is there, like, one artist who could fit, like, this sort of whiny gay high school trope? And I have made this a Troye Sivan jukebox musical.
My God. So much
and
sense.
So Troye Sivan has three albums,
uh-huh.
And I gave songs from like each one of his albums like to a specific character. Like Tim is Blue Neighborhood because
mm-hmm.
that's like the arty suburban one.
Mm-hmm.
And his shoes.
Jace is Bloom because that's like the more sort of mature, sexy one. Ben is Something to Give Each Other because that's more
for
of
dumb
like,
babies
and more horny.
Yeah, that's like the sort of just like that's like the horny Vapid album. It's my least favorite album, and unfortunately, like half the songs are in here because that's
I really love just, Rush though. It's a fun song.
It's got some good songs, but and then there's two like non-album tracks that other people get. So it's the start of summer before senior year. Ben, who is out of the closet but otherwise shy, spends too much time pining for his neighbor Tim, a popular athlete he's never spoken to, singing One of Your Girls. After causing a jogging mishap where Tim breaks his ankle, Ben offers to help out while Tim's wealthy parents are traveling for business. Tim has a sensitive artistic side beyond his athletic side, and the two find they actually enjoy each other's company. One night, Tim kisses Ben, singing Bite, and it gets physical. This continues through the summer until school starts. Tim distances himself from Ben due to pressure from sports and his friends, and Ben is heard about it, singing Silly. They continue to hook up, but have a close call nearly being discovered by Tim's conservative Christian parents. He breaks it off, singing Fools, as he can't reconcile the expectations for his future with his sexuality. Around Christmas, Ben and his friend Allison are performing at an open mic night at a local coffee shop, singing Glittery, with Allison taking the Casey Musgraves part. Ben catches the eye of a barista, Jace. Jace is a couple years older and out of the closet, which is a change of pace for Ben, and they have their first date on New Year's Eve, where Jace makes no secret of his interest, singing Lucky Strike. Ben goes back to school, but spends a lot of free time with Jace, overjoyed that a guy actually wants to be seen with him, singing Got Me Started. However, the relationship moves pretty fast, and Jace asks Ben to move away with him after Ben graduates, singing My My My. One night near graduation, Tim shows up to Ben's window. He apologizes to Ben for how he treated him, saying he still has feelings for him, but he needs to leave to go figure himself out, singing Wild. Ben realizes he also has feelings for Tim, singing a brief refrain of Still Got It, and breaks things off with Jace, citing that they're just in two different places, singing How to Stay With You. As the summer begins, Ben is single and preparing to go off to college. He reminisces about these two relationships, singing Could Cry Just Thinking About You, joined by Tim and Jace. Both couples acknowledge how much they meant to each other, but all three men have a lot of growing to do. Tim needs to go find himself and decide his own path beyond what his parents want him to do. Jace needs to work on his attachment issues and stop chasing twinks. And Ben needs to grow a personality beyond needing boys to like him.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
The end.
Very nice.
Love it.
That was some good work with the songs.
Thank you.
All right, so now I ask.
Now you may.
Would you recommend?
No!
I mean, yes and no, right? Like,
no!
I at least give me an unequivocal no. My sense is like, this is terrible. This is unequivocally
there is
one
a
of the most...
sort of thing I recommend to like I would
specific
normally not recommend
people.
You watch this
yes.
I would recommend it to y'all. I'm going to make Max watch
yeah.
it
this
because
is just
I
like,
just I want people to recognize and like witness the train wreck.
I can't help like the change of word choice from I recommended it to you guys, I'm going to make Max watch it. That's just a not optional.
But it's yeah, I'm on the same page. There's a handful of people in my life who I'm like, you've got to see this,
right.
Otherwise
yeah.
There is no one on this planet that would have been like, you have to spend the
two hours? That's the insane thing to do. This movie is 2 hours long.
Yeah. I mean, that has to cover 12 years.
Yeah.
But
something like Summer and Boyhood, movies that take place over 12 years.
Yes. a lot of people do compare
which
something
one's
like
better you right.
Like the line from Mystery Science Theater is like a lot of people compare something like Summer to Boyhood. They usually say Boyhood is really great, this movie sucks.
That's kind of the takeaway, honestly.
I mean, like, the thing that I would say, just real quick, because I know we're running long here, is just, it's so profoundly weird to me, because this is, as we established, a book series. This is also a book series where the author did a mulligan and was like, I'm going to actually redo this as a graphic novel, and then later said, and now I'm going to redo it as another novel that's following the graphic novel closer. The graphic novel, pretty good,
it
by and large.
Legitimately
pretty
is pretty good.
To the point that when I read the graphic novel, I was like, fuck, this fixed it. Like, this mostly
wow,
fixed
really?
The movie.
It really
yeah.
does.
So, like,
yeah.
if you're at all interested in, like, anything here, read the graphic novel or the rewritten book.
Do which, you think he had, like, a different editor that was better?
I truly don't know. So he was working with an artist, obviously, for the graphic novel. Yeah. So, like, I kind of wondered, did she come in and be like, hey, just something to note here, leaving a note on his door is psychopath.
I mean, the graphic novel was just, like, a community college art student.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, doesn't mean, like, she's not
talented
still,
or, like, right, can't identify problems.
But still, it's, like, it's so different and so much better that it feels like...
Yeah, at some point, someone
whose, like, career
right.
it is to fix these
right,
things.
Right, must have, like, spoken
this.
And be like, let's have a chat about, like, what you have wrought in this
yeah.
book. So, like, if you're at all interested, read the graphic novel or read the first book in the rewritten novel series, which is, like, what was it, like, When Ben Loved Tim or something like that?
I always forget the name because
yeah,
I get it confused
yeah.
with When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, no, all the names for them are terrible, by the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, read one of those. You should not read the book. This movie is insane.
So on that note, thank you all so much for listening to us shriek about this nonsense movie. We'll come back in 2 weeks with our final musical.
Yeah, our final unhinged musical. And I have to say, I thought my musical was unhinged, and then I saw something like Summer, and I was like, well, shit. I don't know that it is. Anyway.
Well, it's fine. I'm excited to do the next one. This has been a lot of fun so far. Hit us with the socials, please.
Right, facebook.com. I mean, we really don't. I don't use Facebook really anymore. So,
yeah.
like, it's really just sort of like drophack.com is the website. And on all the podcasting apps, obviously, you can find our podcast there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe, whatever, rate, review. And, drophack.com has the episodes that for some reason don't show up in the feed anymore.
Yep.
Lyft style, give us nothing but 5 stars, please. All right, and with that, we shall...
Something like goodbye.
We will something like buy it out.
Bye! Pavre domoka une pate bone dozo konda la casa sei lui come va pulida il marina sui paia quando me brada sebra. So sorry.